Did you manage to make
it? I did not have a chance to make you a character because my computer had a fatal crash error this morning while I was making it for you. If you want to roll something up, I'm sure when something becomes necessary to roll, we'll talk about it then. But I was trying to make you a rich doctor on vacation.
Did you have a name? Names are the hardest part. Someone think of a name for me and write it in the notes, and I'll make a rich doctor.
You would probably know rich British names better than I.
Yes.
Jonathan. Can we call him Ferdinand?
Jonathan. Perfect.
Oh, dear. All right. I'll go and have a think.
Maybe his last name is Martin.
That sounds like Gail and words.
Yeah, hi.
I think she said Martin.
I did. Yeah, that was my suggestion.
So is it Jonathan Martin or Martin Powell? You could go either way with that.
Oh, I Ferdinand Martin.
Oh, Ferdinand Martin. That doesn't sound
oh, wow.
English, though.
That's
no. I'm gonna go with Martin Smith. There we go.
I was about to say
Smith with a Y.
Ferdinand Martin, I think, was too bougie for any game. that's just bougie enough for real life.
I'm gonna use just pre-generated. Use these stats from the rules.
Sounds good.
The tough is always for me the skills rather than the stats.
Time. Yeah. Points. Yeah.
I'll pick them as they come up.
That's the way to do it. As long as you know how many points you have, you just spend them as needed.
Awesome. Let's see here. You guys are all on Trinidad and Tobago in the capital, Port of Spain. For some reason or another. And it's the dry season currently. It's Thursday, February 17th, 1928.
Where did you put the link to the
note? I emailed it earlier, but...
Oh, okay. I will look through my... No, it's fine. I'll look through my email. I'm sure it's there. Max. There it is.
Indeed. There it be. So maybe if everyone wants to go around and explain their characters, because this is going to be a pretty quick upshot into the action once we start.
Okay.
Won't have time for anything like silly introductions.
Katerina Ivanovich is a Russian-born fashion designer. She's somewhat portly. She's in her 40s. She does not move particularly well. But she has, what do we call them? Sparkling, no. Sparkling eyes, sharp eyes. She looks around.
Olivia Louisa Westfall is a party girl. She was just recently ditched by her fiancé after she gambled away a good amount of her money, so she is now drinking and flirting and partying her way through her heartbreak. She's very pretty and not especially bright, and often...
Barney Nichols is the youngest son of a company that sells shoes. He looking for a good time and incredibly susceptible to suggestion. Probably an alcoholic.
I think Nikki and Olivia are going to get along famously.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne is a broken-down old sailor who has a very hard time moving and getting around. Who came in recently came into a little bit of money, although he is very evasive as to how or where that might have come from. And has just recently washed up on Trinidad.
Look what the tide brought in. Scraggly beard and...
All right, Matthew McKellen. He is a aristocrat coming from England. He has a Scottish accent, but he tries to remove it. And whenever he talks to you, it's hard to tell if he's from Scotland or not. But
I look forward to hearing you play that.
you just imagine that, right? he also is representing one of the biggest oil companies right now here in Trinidad and Tobago. He doesn't actually belong to the staff. He's just like a company representative. So he is going to be around in parties and having fun and kind of getting to know everyone around in the government and so forth.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that Barney is ostensibly here to look for new ideas for his shoe company back home, but he's really not too interested in that kind of the same thing.
Or at least that's what he puts on his tax write-off.
Exactly. He's the youngest son. He doesn't need to run the company.
All right. Cool.
Who's left? Am I left?
Yes, you're left.
Martin Smith, the doctor, currently a very well fleshed out and rounded character. he is a surgeon and is actually a pretty decent surgeon, but he's not as smart as he thinks he is. Also quite a short man. That's all you got so far.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, for one reason or another, you all find yourselves hanging out very late into the morning, or early into the morning, on this Thursday. So I guess technically it would be Friday morning, around 2:30 a.m., you all find yourself in this, we'll say, probably little hotel bar or something. And a man walks in.
Walks into a bar.
Yes, a man walks into a bar. A man walks in, and he is an older, well-dressed, refined-looking gentleman. Looks to be of Indo-Trinidadian descent. He actually comes up to each one of you and asks for you by your name. Kind of looks around at the group, and you guys seem to be the only ones here. And Dwayne? Miss Westphal? Miss Olvanovich? Mr. Smith? Mr. Nichols? Mr. McKellen? Oh, so fortuitous to find you. You all here. Let me introduce myself.
Please.
My name is. my name is Dr. Ranjit Pandey. I'm sorry to catch you unexpected like this and at such a late hour, but it's come to my information that all of you at some time or another have been trustworthy and could help out with certain peculiarities that you have an open mind towards. You see, after he introduces himself, he's kind of looks a little impatient. He's I have an urgent matter that I can would need your assistance looking into, if you would be so kind. I do have a very generous fee to offer you, if you could help with this. But time is of the essence currently. My nephew was murdered, or taken. I'm not sure. His wife was murdered. If you wouldn't mind, I have a couple terms, but I do have a good fee that I could pay you to look into this case. I could give you $500 if you take the case. With I can cover $40 per day in expenses, and if my nephew Sundar is returned safe, or if unfortunately he's not alive anymore, for delivering justice to his murderers. I only have a few stipulations. No police must become involved in this matter. Nothing regarding the matter is made public under any circumstance. 3, you must begin at once. The crime scene's untouched. This only happened just a few hours ago. And I cannot ensure secrecy past dawn. The housemaid arrives at 7. Everything must be put right before then. I will tell her that Sundar and Kashi were called away for a few weeks suddenly. That leaves you 4.5 hours to examine their home. Will you take the case? Yes, Kashi, like the cereal.
Who is Kashi?
That's Sundar's wife who was murdered.
Oh, she's murdered too, okay. Oh, and Sundar is missing.
Sundar is missing, yes.
Listen,
Mr. Pendejo. Mr. Pandey. Pandey. His name is Dr. Ranjit Pandey, P-A-N-D-A-Y.
All right, Mr. Pandey. Do you think the workers' movement could have been involved in this? Sounds like something they will do. Because I honestly don't need the money right now, but we'll be interested to know if, you know...
At this point, Mr. McKellen, your guess is as good as mine. This just happened within the past few hours, and the crime scene has been left undisturbed.
How did he die?
Sundar is missing. More will become apparent as you investigate the scene. Unfortunately, I can show you there now if you'd care to follow me.
Well, let's hop on your. You have brought a train to the hotel. No, let's go.
I can just give me 1 minute. I just want to finish my drink first.
He looks down at his watch and he looks at Olivia and yes, go ahead, miss. We'll leave in a few minutes.
So there was a murder and a kidnapping.
Yes, murder and kidnapping. Yeah.
They happened at the same time in the same place.
Yes.
Yes, obviously the nephew killed the wife and ran away.
Hmm. Wow. Hmm.
But we will, yes. Go into it with an open mind, of course.
Well, it sounds like he has the fingerprints of the working movement. I will join you, Mr. Pandey. I will help you with this.
Perhaps you can tell us more about your nephew on the way over.
Yes. We will. It won't take us much much time to get there. We can walk. It will take us no time at all.
We walk. It will take a little longer.
So tell me, Panjay, how did you find all of us?
Well,
I have never seen these people before in my life, and yet you walk in and and you know everyone. What is this?
It's this special power called GM Fiat.
I'm sure everyone has heard of the great Dr. Smith.
He kind of hand waves it off and says, I've heard of you all through different sources, different people, different reliable sources that I work with. They've all spoken highly of each of you for different reasons.
Quite right, too.
Clearly, I know he's lying because no one would ever talk about me that way. Right.
That's not true. We'll say you're not a bad guy. Like, you know, you're not going to push a kid down and rub his face in the mud for no reason. Hopefully.
Well, I was thinking more of the reliable part, but we'll go with it. We'll roll.
You're reliably drunk. Nice, I guess. That's,
we only have three drunks in the party. We're very responsible.
Hey, barkeep, an extra bottle of rum to go.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Thank you. Okay, where's the money? Where's the money? Where's the body? Let's go.
Well, yes, and as you guys said that you would take the case, he does hand you an envelope with $500. We'll say $660 in it. So he'll say he's got 4 days worth of expenses in there to start.
U.S. dollars. Wow.
We'll deal with it as in U.S. dollars, but sure. I'm not going to worry about conversion. They are actually...
I count it to make sure.
It's actually, there's Spanish dollars mixed in with the British pound here on Trinidad and Tobago, but we'll just deal with American dollars. It's easier.
Stuff it in a large purse. Who knows what contents are in this bag?
I count it while I'm waiting for the bartender to get my new bottle of rum out.
Yes, your bottle of rum has been retrieved.
No glass. I'll just take the bottle to go.
Olivia finishes her drink, and the impatient Dr. Pandey is able to leave with you trailing behind him. He walks with you guys up to a nice, quiet home in the upscale St. Clair neighborhood. The house is surrounded by tall trees and a wrought iron fence. He comes up to the gate there, and you see five younger people. Not young people, but younger than the doctor, you know, probably between mid-20s and mid-30s, two women and three men. They meet you guys outside there. The Dr. Pandey introduces these. These are my some of my other family members. The men are BJ, Saral, and Naveen, and the women are Gita and Avani. And he starts to speak to them in Hindustani. Do any of you guys speak?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
No, what a remarkable coincidence.
As long as we're having coincidences, I mean.
Why not?
So he talks to them, and they start to kind of spread out around the perimeter of the house on the outside.
So your family knows about the murder and the kidnapping, but you don't want your maid to know? What's the problem with having the maid know? Do you not trust her?
Well, she is not part of the family, sir. So, no, I don't trust her.
Oh.
No.
But us, you trust.
No, I would like to keep this between us and the family.
So the nephew killed the wife and ran off with the maid. Case solved. Let's go.
Right.
Well, if you would like to investigate the crime scene inside the house, I'm sure that may change. Your opinion may change.
Oh, yes. Yes, please. Let's go see it. Let's go see.
So if you guys head in...
So has he been willing to tell us anything about his nephew before, as we put it in?
Yeah, I mean, he tells you he's helped him work at the clinic. He's basically just a generic guy. I mean, there's really no... It's not like he's into any sort of sordid activities. He is... Sundar and Kashi were both in their early 30s.
Well, take us to the scene, Doctor. Where did all these happen?
He points you towards the door at the house, and he says, "It's right inside the living room for you."
Okay. I'm kind of jumping into the living room.
And if you guys look around, you see that there's a front door, a back door, and a servant's entrance to the house.
How wealthy is this household?
Wealthy. It is a very nice house. And once you head inside, you see that the house is tastefully decorated, what you would expect from a younger couple. There's an empty nursery that you pass by on your way to the living room, but it's empty. Doesn't show that it's been used.
Okay, so empty meaning there's nothing in it, not empty meaning there's furniture but no child.
Correct.
Okay.
Empty meaning it doesn't look like it's been used for a child to date.
I hear a child though, so now I'm
I heard one. And you guys see that there's signs of a struggle in the bathroom, and the sink is covered with blood, and you see Kashi Pandey's body lying on the dining room table. There's signs of a struggle in the living room, and that her body was moved to the table. Around her neck, you see a necklace decorated with four human fingers and a thumb. Which seem warm and bloody, as if they were freshly severed. And you see her chest is extended, as if she'd taken a deep breath, and there's a black handprint on her lower face, covering her mouth and nose.
Is she missing any fingers? Are the fingers...
She is not. All ten digits are there, so you could assume that these are not hers.
Do these look like your nephew's hand?
It does. I fear that those may be Sundar's fingers.
How is she dressed? Or is she dressed?
She is dressed. She's dressed like she was just at home, kind of in, house clothes, sleepwear.
Okay.
So she's in the dining room?
She's in the dining room on the dining room table.
Doctor, you did not put her on the table. She was here when she was found here.
Yes. We have not touched anything inside the house since this was found.
Dr. Pandey, are you a medical doctor?
He is... Yeah, he is. He didn't hire himself to investigate this.
Okay, fine. I'll head on over and do his job for him.
So if you want to give me a medicine check, and when you guys actually walk in and see Kashi laying there on the table, and the fingers around her throat, everyone can go ahead and make a sanity check for seeing her laying here.
I failed that.
What is my sanity? Starts at power.
And probably dice is what we need.
Extreme success.
15. Also extreme success.
Just fail. I could spend luck, but I don't want to. No, you can't spend luck.
The house dress is a bit of a travesty, but otherwise.
I fail.
Successes net you zero, and failures are 1d3 loss. And then, Jonathan, medicine check.
Yeah, I'm as a surgeon, I'm used to the sight of gruesome blood and gore, so of course I lose all 3 points of sanity.
Yeah, you do.
I'm on holiday. I'm supposed to be enjoying myself. It's like,
this is a very bad surgery job, right? So it's not the blood and gore. It's the poor cuts and
quality.
The quality of the work.
And a medicine roll?
Yes, a medicine roll, please.
Yeah, I fail. 82 out of 70.
Okay. While he's inspecting the body, I would like to look around the bathroom. And you said the living room had signs of combat or signs of struggle as well?
Yes, the living room where you guys are at does show signs of struggle, yes, as well as the bathroom.
I will look for things that do not belong in this house using my fashionable sense and my spot hiddenness.
Okay, so you're going to look around here in the bathroom?
Bathroom and then eventually the living room, 03.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, 03 in the bathroom. You find hack marks on the edge of the sink. And this is where you would assume this is where Sundar's fingers were severed.
Okay. But I don't find the razor, knife, or any sort of extra, some blonde hair, or I don't know.
No forensic evidence, no.
Okay.
Jonathan, you can go ahead and make another medicine check, if you like.
That would be a success.
Yeah.
Normal.
So you're investigating Kashi's body, and this same black substance that's covered—it's all over her nostrils, her mouth. You find that her throat is filled with the substance. Her chest feels hard, like an overfilled tire, and tears of tar are like streaking down and dripping out of her eyes, off the sides of her face. After examining her, you can tell that her lungs are completely filled with tar. And you can also tell that she seems to be about 10 weeks pregnant.
Oh dear. Is it clear someone sort of put a funnel in her throat and poured a load of tar down it, or?
You're not sure. You can go ahead and give me a natural world to identify the substance if you want.
Okay. Ooh, 09 out of 40. Good.
You are correct. It is tar. It is definitely tar.
But
in her lungs or in her stomach?
It's in her lungs, nostrils, mouth, throat, eyes.
Right. So someone's force-fed her tar.
But she breathed it, not swallowed it.
Yeah, like Jonathan, think of it as if she had taken a huge, deep breath, as big a breath as she could, and that's all filled with tar.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. So,
right.
Clearly someone forced it down her lungs with a tube.
Because you can't breathe tar.
No.
Right.
My God, this poor woman. She's been filled up with tar.
And,
Well, she should be burned pretty badly then. Where's...
Are there any, Sorry.
Good. She does not appear to be burned whatsoever.
Cold tar? What?
I can't be in here right now. And Olivia is going to try to find the bedroom, sort of rifle through there, because being in the same room with the body is too upsetting.
Okay. You head off to the bedroom to start searching.
There's no other sign of tar around the room except on the body, right? Kashi's?
There's a bunch on the table, but other than that, no. And it's pretty much localized just to the table. And actually, Olivia, as you're walking out, you've got your back turned, but everyone else in the room can eventually give me a sanity check. As you see, Doctor, you're the closest to this. Kashi's eyes start weeping. Tar. More heavily than they were. Her head starts moving side to side as if she's looking around. You see tar starts to drool from her mouth and her nose, and then suddenly her chest rips open and a mass, basically a column of tar shoots up from her chest to the ceiling. And you see that it kind of is swirling and moving, and in the middle of it, a mouth forms and starts speaking to you in Hindi.
I fail my sanity roll.
Dr. Pandey, come quick.
He will be there in a minute.
Am I still in the room? Did this happen before I left the room?
Well, you probably heard gasps, but it was just as you were leaving the room.
Okay, well, I'm sure I turned around.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and give me a sand check, too.
I will be staggering backwards and probably screaming, even if I pass.
Sanity checks, if it's a success, it's 1. A failure is 1d4.
And a 4, of course. There we go.
Well done. You're almost nutty.
There because I was with Katerina.
Yeah, somewhere you guys else. Investigated the bathroom and were walking back into the room when this happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not a failure.
So what's it saying? Who
cares what it's saying? Kill it! Kill it!
So, as it starts talking, it talks for about 20, 30 seconds in Hindi, and then it switches to English.
That's convenient.
Yeah, it actually is convenient. It's in kind of a deep, raspy... It sounds like... I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 voices mashed on top of each other, all very gloopy in sound.
Does the voice change when the language changes, or is it just change the language?
It just changes the language. It says, you are lambs offered for the slaughter by that coward Noor. He must hand himself over. Or his family will suffer. He says, just like pauses for a minute. And then, Sundar shall live if that traitor comes out of his rat hole. Every day that Noor hides, Sundar shall suffer terrible torture. As the necklace proves Sundar still lives, the fingers will not rot until he is dead. If you do not, if Noor does not appear before Sundar dies, more of his family will be taken. First 4, then 8, then 16, until no more are left. And then it kind of like lets out this growl, kind of a tarry growl. And everyone give me luck rolls.
Ooh, oh, finally I passed something.
Yeah, nope. Barely.
Fail.
Get a hard.
Who's got the highest roll?
I rolled a 67.
I got a 63.
I got a 79, but it's a pass.
65. Okay.
So it sounds like Gale has the highest fail.
Oh, no, I passed.
Oh, passed. Okay. Yeah, so then Jim.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. Well, let's go ahead and get into dex order. I think that's going to help us immensely here in a moment.
I'll be last.
So let's see here. Jim, what's your dex?
20.
Cool. Damn.
Whoa.
Edwin?
30.
Does Dwayne have a peg leg by any chance?
Gale, what's your dex?
52.
Steve?
60.
Jonathan?
My dex is 70.
Trial doctor.
Well, he's a surgeon. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
And Randall?
50.
Ah, so close to having done it in the right order.
All right. Well, that's great. Because a big black spear shaped tendril comes flashing out of this thing. And tries to hit Jim. Tries to hit Dwayne, and let's see if it does. No, it goes. Oh no, yes, it does hit you.
Of course.
So this tendril flies out and hits you. For 6 damage.
Can he dodge?
Wow.
Can he dodge?
Looks bloody.
Yeah, you can dodge if you like, Jim, or yeah, try to.
10%.
Yeah, with my dodge of 10, that's going to work. No, that fails.
Or fight back.
Fight dodge, back. No, that's fine. The dodge fails, and my con roll fails, so...
Boom.
Opening scene, 1 down. Off to a good start.
Yeah. That one looks pretty bloody.
Not dead, if there was a good enough doctor around to notice the difference, but...
yeah, not perfect, so...
Plenty of hit points left. I just failed a con.
So now, Jonathan, you're up.
Well, what's going on? What do
so
I see?
So, you see a big black roiling column of tar.
Yeah.
Coming out of the chest of Kashi to the ceiling of the living room, and a big black tendril just shot out and hit Dwayne. Square in the chest.
Okay. I will shout, what are you doing? If you want us to find this Noor, why are you trying to kill us? And I'll try and jump behind some piece of furniture so I can't get attacked.
Okay, so you jump behind cover.
Yeah.
If I was not conscious, I would, or if I was not unconscious, I would have asked that very same question.
It is a good question.
Well... It was more threatening, the voice, than tasking.
It doesn't care, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Except it does want.
Steve, you're up.
Yes. It's a well-to-do house. Perhaps there's like a little tray for, say, cocktails or something like that laying around nearby.
Always thinking about drinking.
Always thinking about drinking.
What kind of implement are you looking for?
The tray.
A tray?
Yes, the tray.
Sure. There's a tray.
Okay. Barney will reach out and almost grab whatever drinks are on top and say, no, to the task. And grab the tray, and he's going to kind of throw himself with the tray to kind of try to cover up the big fount of tar that's shooting out. Okay, kind of like a manhole lid.
So we'll call that a combat maneuver. So go ahead and make a brawl roll.
Let's see, Barney. 15. Which,
15. Dang.
It's got faith, but that works.
It'll try and fight back, but I don't think that'll happen. Yeah, no. Okay. Give me a
D4. Two.
Okay. So that happens. You kind of rush over and try and close up the font of tar, but you're struggling with it now.
It's like a garden hose, I'm sure. The tar is just shooting everywhere.
Well, it's just kind of like constantly flowing up and back and around, so it's kind of difficult, but you started to cover a little of it. Then, Gail?
Yeah. Just in the doorway. So I think she's going to duck around the edge of the doorway and stand in the hallway with her back to the wall, screaming.
Perfect. Next up is Randall.
Well, this, of course, is very natural. I don't know how to react very well. So I pull out my pistol and start shooting at the thing.
Go right ahead.
I knew if anybody could be trusted to be armed in this situation.
Of course. Oh, that's a failure. Yeah.
Oh, darn. Sure you don't want to push it?
Can't push combat.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can luck right. Then, but you can't push.
Yeah. Okay. Failure.
I will luck spend. If I can luck spend, I'll do that.
Okay. You can.
Yeah. All right. So that's a hit. Let me roll out 1d10 plus. So it's 11 points.
11 points. Okay. You see your bullet kind of shoots through it and then kind of sludges out the back and drops to the floor. It's not a person, so you can't really tell what kind of damage it did. And now, Edwin.
Katharina, while this thing was talking, was fumbling through her large purse, and she also pulls out a pistol, and do not trust this island.
Well-prepared lady.
And she gets a normal success on her shot.
Okay.
For a whopping 2 points of damage. The little pistol.
Okay. All right.
Sort of backing up stodgily.
Okay.
The party pistol.
And last but not least, Jim. Dwayne.
Well, least, actually.
Given least. That he's unconscious on the floor, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you're fine, though, right? Was that a major wound?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Back up to the top.
Can I reach the unconscious investigator?
Yeah, you can reach him on your turn.
I don't want to go to him. I want to sort of grab hold of his legs and drag him out of the line.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go and try and tend to his wounds in the middle of this, whatever this is.
And let's see here. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay.
Get out of here, Dwayne. Flop like a mullet.
So, Nikki, you see a tendril flash out of this tar thing and head straight towards you and looking like it's going to connect. What are you going to do?
I got to dodge that. Let's see. I think that's success too. Yes. In fact, yeah, and we can luck spend, right? I'll spend one and make it a hard success.
Okay. You deftly step out of the way of the tendril, and it slashes into the wall behind you, where you were just standing. That's and then it is Jonathan.
Oh, again?
Yes. Well, this is technically your turn. The thing goes before you.
Okay.
So yeah. If you're dragging Jim out of the way, that would be now.
Yes, that's what I will do.
Okay. And Steve?
Oh, I thought that was me talking. When you said Nikki, I thought, because his last name is Nichols, I thought you were calling him Barney Nikki. So that was me who spoke before. I'm sorry. I guess I went out of turn.
No, you dodged. You're kidding. Yeah, you dodged.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So now it's your turn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's enough. Seeing that thing wave a tentacle at me after what it did to Dwayne, I'm going to kind of hold that tray up kind of like a shield and just take it on the heel and toe and just run out of the room.
Okay. Gail, continue screaming.
Yep, she now has her hands over her eyes.
Okay.
She's not going to see anything coming, if it's coming. And she is in a panic and just screaming incoherently and continuously.
Can I say one thing, though, real quick, Max? If there's a second way, like away from everyone, that's the one I'll run to kind of give it a multiple targets.
Yeah, more than one you run out a different door from the living room.
Okay.
Okay. So that's Gail and Randall. So everyone's running.
Yeah. Is there anything? I look around. Is there anything I can use against it? Like. Any object that I can grab and try to hit it?
There is a fireplace with a set of fire tools, like a poker and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I'll grab the poker. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Go ahead and swing.
Okay. How do I attack it? Like...
with a brawl roll.
Okay, I got a failure.
Failure. Swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
And, Edwin, or Katarina.
Katarina walks towards this thing, unloading her pistol. She hits twice for 7 and 3.
Wow.
Not like this.
Okay. So, yeah. 2 bullets pass through and drop out the back.
So they drop out the back. They don't, like, keep flying and hit the wall at full speed.
No. The tar slowed it down significantly. You guys see that it seems to be losing its... substance. It seems less substantial than it was at the beginning of this fight. You see more of the tar is kind of dripping off the table onto the floor. kind of like that's feathers. Say that again.
Nothing.
So then Jim Dwayne is passed out, but he's been dragged out of the way. So let's see here. Now we've only got Katarina and Mr. McCallan that are close by. So that's perfect.
I will attempt to. Is it the thing's turn now?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Mr. McCallan, a tendril shoots out, slashing towards your face. What are you going to do?
Dodge.
Okay.
Oh, 0-2.
Okay. Whoa, nice.
Deftly steps out of the way as this tentacle comes slashing across where you were just standing. Jonathan.
I will attempt to revive the sailor. Not in a careful, controlled manner, but more slap him out a bit, wave some smelling salts under his nose, that kind of thing.
All right, go ahead and make a first aid.
Okay. That is a success.
Success. Okay. Mm-hmm. So first aid is, I believe, D4, yes?
Oh.
Hit points is just one.
It's just
one.
All right.
It's one, but
conscious.
Yes. There you go. You wake up.
Hey, god damn it, doctor. Stop hitting me.
Fine. I stop hitting him.
All right. Now, Steve, you're up. Are you going to continue exiting the house?
I don't know if I'll exit the house. Are there servants nearby or anything like that? Somebody I can... Yeah.
No, there's nobody in the house for this specific reason that they don't want anyone in the house other than you or the family.
They know about this tar violent thing.
Right, this violent tar thing.
They're not stupid.
At this point, also, Steve, you're standing in the hallway. You see that Gita and BJ, they rush in past you.
Oh, nice.
Okay, good. Is there something like a large bowl of flowers or something nearby, a vase or something, a large open container or something?
Go ahead and make a luck roll for whatever you want to be there. Yeah.
Let's say there's a large bowl of flowers if I make it. Another success. This bodes poorly for the future. So there's a big bowl of flowers, and I just kind of I grab the flowers, kind of toss the water and the flowers off, and kind of go back in holding that big thing over my head.
Okay. All right. It is done. Gail, any change?
She's going to sort of peer around the edge of the doorway through her fingers. And that's it. Just sort of lean her head around.
Okay. And so you see people fighting.
She is going to promptly pull right back around the door again. Her eyes covered. She is no longer screaming. And she's going to sort of ball up. And if you were listening to her closely, you could hear her repeating into her knees, "This isn't fun at all. This isn't fun at all."
Okay, fetal position it is. Randall.
Well, since I beat him, you know, I miss it the first time. I'm gonna shoot it again. Okay. So, whatever it is doing, I'm gonna kind of step backwards, and I shoot the thing Oh, for 19. Nice. And this is 7 points.
Okay. Another bullet shoots in and drops out the back.
Do we see it, like, slowing down, or
it's not slowing down,
doing anything?
There is more tar that's, you know, becoming liquid and kind of splashing off.
Okay, so it's kind of working.
Yeah, you would assume that you're kind of working it down, if you could tell. Edwin.
I save one bullet for Dr. Pandey. And I shoot the other three at this thing. I miss twice. I hit once for 4.
Okay.
And I'm right up on it. I mean, I'm basically, like, just feet
just
from this
sticking
thing.
Your hand into the tar and pulling the trigger?
Practically, yeah.
Okay. Jim, you're up. And you're actually awake.
Yeah. So, I'll look at the doctor. So, who is this Norder fellow? Where do we find him?
Your guess is as good as mine.
In the background, whoosh, just fighting. Okay, so then back up to the top.
So the Dr. Pandey, he's still outside, right?
We left yes.
him outside? Okay.
Yes.
Then I'm going to go outside.
All right, you start heading outside. Ooh, Katarina.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
A tentacle flies past you as it misses narrowly. And now it's Jonathan. Are you following Dwayne outside, or what are you doing?
Sorry, Dwayne is... Leaving the building?
Yeah, he's walking outside.
Yeah, that seems sensible. Sure.
Sorry, did you say he was walking? Is that the right word?
They didn't say he was running.
Jogging.
Jogging.
I'm sure they could have.
He's power walking outside.
Mm. He's doing that sailor's roll they do across the ships where they kind of go back and forth.
And so then, Steve, you're up.
Okay, so let's see. Who is left with me in the room? Katarina's here. Randall's
Katarina's there. Mr. McCallan's there.
McCallan, yeah. And
that's it. Oh, yeah. No, now Gita and BJ are here as well.
That's right. Those two are there. So there's a lot of tar, but how much seems to be like a manifestation? Like you said, there's a tentacle that's flashing around. So it's just like one, like, whipping thing in the air?
Yeah. Well, if you had to say, in terms of, you know, a fraction of what was there before, it's about 3/10 there.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to try to replicate my maneuver with the tray, only to use this giant bowl to kind of gather everything in, kind of slam it down on top.
Go ahead.
Sure to work. 0/2.
Nice.
Okay. Roll damages.
Okay. What did you say? What do you think it should do?
1d4.
You don't have a strength damage bonus, do you?
Oh, funny you should mention that. Let's have a look. Ah, oh, why, yes, I do.
Well, there
then
you go.
1d4 plus DB.
Okay. So, 6 total.
Okay. And, next up, is actually Gita. She is going to, pick up another piece of the fireplace, poker equipment, and she swings at it and hits it. And BJ also does the same. And he does not hit it. He misses. And next up after that is Gail, who is rolled up in a ball, fetal position style. Gail, you're just fine. Nothing happens to you.
All right.
Keep doing what you're doing. And then Randall. You, Mr. McKellen.
Someone's muted.
Sorry, yeah. So basically, I will, continue to shoot the thing right now. So we got, and that's a hit for 5 points of damage. I'm considering setting the thing on fire, but given that there is so much tar all around us,
I had that thought.
Maybe not the best idea.
Plus, we're supposed to be investigating a little bit. Won't be able to do too much when we burn down the house, right? I had the same thought, though. Yeah.
So, Randall, after you get this thing, the rest of what's there just melts down over and splashes over the table.
Oh, my God. Finally got it.
Where is Dr. Pandey?
He is outside. First, I want to just
one
go
bullet
over...
for him.
First, I just want to go over what you guys got from this tar thing, just to make sure we're all on the same page. So... snippets from the tar thing. If someone wants to go over the notes, I kind of started separating them because there are a couple different points.
There's a quote on that spot.
Sundar shall live if the traitor comes out of his rat hole. Every day that Nur hides, Sundar shall suffer a terrible fortune. The necklace proves Sundar still lives. The fingers won't rot until he dies. You are lambs offered up for the slaughter by that coward Nur. If Nur doesn't appear before Sundar dies, 4 more of his family will be taken, then 8, then 16, and so on. If Nur hands himself over, his family will be spared. And those of the Pandey who practice Nur's corrupted teaching must abandon their blasphemous faith. Those who turn to the true path will be spared.
Nonsense, all of it.
So basically in the commotion after this, Gita and BJ are there. The rest of the relatives that were there, they come inside as well as Dr. Pandey. And he kind of just shaking his head in disbelief, looking around.
Point a gun at him.
So, Pandey, who is this Nur fellow?
Nur? You said he was the family patriarch. He came to Trinidad about 70 years ago, penniless. Worked hard and established our family here and ensured our prosperous future. But he died in 1905. He was 97.
Well, that's going to make it easier to give him up, eh? Where's he buried? Let's go get him.
Well, he's in the he was cremated. His ashes are there.
Uh-huh. Are they here? I think he's lying, is what I'm thinking.
Go ahead and make a psychology.
That is an extreme psychology success.
An extreme psychology.
O2.
Great. He is 100% lying that Noor died in 1905.
Shoot him. I've got a gun on him.
his first comment that Noor was the family patriarch and he came to Trinidad about 70 years ago and established the family and ensured their prosperous future, that seemed mostly genuine, that comment.
So where is this man who is older than he should be? And I point my gun right in his face.
So I've...
You are a liar.
I cannot...
Your family is a lying. And you will all die for this. If you want to save your nephew, apparently you need to give up your grandfather.
I really like this Katerina.
I know, what a woman, damn.
He says, I will tell you all that I can, but there is some I do not know. Likely these, whatever this was, the people responsible knew Noor back in India, The late 1860s were a difficult time, a bloody time. My father came to Trinidad to escape it, but it seems the darkness may have found him. You must help my family stop it. I mean, I wish I had more information. Do you guys ask him any other questions about any of those other points that you heard?
He's saying that this person supposedly died, 12 years ago? Oh, no.
1905, and it's 1928.
3 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was 97 in 05? Sorry, I got mistypey. No, he was... How old was he when he died? That was one of the things.
He was 97.
Was 97. Okay. So he's now 130, 120 something.
What?
Yeah. He says, I don't know who's behind the attack, but it's clear they're dangerous and serve some dark power.
You are not talking about Noor. You are talking about some random enemies. If you want to help your family, and apparently you don't, if you don't want to help your family, we don't want to help your family.
I do want to help my family. I'm paying you to find those responsible and recover my nephew. What are you telling us about your father? If myself and my family were capable of doing so without involving you, I would do so. That you can tell, Edwin, with your still rolling psychology, is 100% true.
Awesome.
So what's with this blasphemous religion thing?
He says... He's not sure what they mean. He says, I'm not sure. Maybe something that my father used to practice. I'm not 100% sure what they meant by that.
They seem awfully upset about it.
But you see that Gita actually kind of breaks into the conversation and starts arguing with Ranjit in Hindi. And then Bijay also starts arguing with them, and all three of them are arguing in Hindi.
Stop that. Why don't you speak English and tell me what you're saying? I just asked what is going on with this blasphemous religion thing. You want us to help you out. You want us to risk our lives against some kind of creepy tar monster. And you're not even telling us what's going on. Why don't you tell us what's going on and then maybe we can help,
So... You see his eyes kind of turn towards you a couple times when you say that, but they're still arguing. You guys can actually go ahead and give me psychology checks if you want to try and interpret their body language.
I will spend some luck to make that a success.
There's that high roll that was due. That's a fail. Doesn't
Yeah, that was a fail. But Olivia is actually going to stomp in between them while they're arguing and like wave her hand in front of their face.
Doesn't Dr. Martin speak the language too, though?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't Jonathan's character, Dr. Martin, speak the language as well?
No.
No, I was being
facetious.
Oh, okay. No, so she's going to like insert herself right in between the two people arguing.
Success on the psych roll.
Excuse me.
Okay. Very well. We can go back to my clinic. I'll answer any more of the questions that you have if we can, but we need to get out of here. Unfortunately, I don't believe there's enough time for this to be cleaned up before the morning. Yes. I don't believe there's any other way. And he like says something to one of the other relatives, and goes into the kitchen and brings out. Go ahead.
We should search the living room before we leave. We were interrupted.
Well, please make it quick. We will be leaving in the next 5 to 10 minutes. We can go to my clinic, and I will answer any other questions you have. I assure you, we need your help. We are just doctors in this family. We do not have the ability to deal with something such as this.
So was there anything off the psych roll on the argument, or just...
Yes, so off the psych roll on the argument, you can tell that Gita and BJ are definitely angry with their uncle. She is arguing to him pretty intently about something, and kind of like motions towards the group once or twice. And then, kind of at the end of that, she storms out, and the doctor turns around and then he, you know, tells you that you guys are going to have to leave soon. Edwin, Catalina, as she's walking out, she turns back and looks at you and drops something in the waste paper basket next to the door.
Awesome. Okay. Do we get the impression that BJ thinks he has won the argument when Uncle Panjay invites us to his clinic, or has lost the argument?
He just kind of like no one won the argument. It was just kind of like he just looks. Yeah, he just looks kind of sullen.
All right. Well, while searching the living room with my successful spot hidden, I will also pull something out of the trash can.
Yes, you do. It is a business card that says Queen's Royal College, Queen's Park West, Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, Gita Pandey, Department of History.
Awesome.
Barney is going to set his bowl full of tar on a table and go to the go to the bathroom to get cleaned up and kind of look around some more when I get in there, if there's anything.
Okay. Else. You go to the blood-covered bathroom.
Yeah.
And get clean.
Yeah, you must be a mess.
Yeah. Dove in there twice.
Yeah.
So.
I'll reload my pistol.
You guys also see that Dr. Pandey, he goes to Kashi's body and he removes the necklace of fingers from her body. Yeah, basically he just stands by the door tapping his toe waiting for you to be done so that you can leave.
You know, I'll actually come back after kind of looking at the bathroom and all the mess there and the mess at myself. And Dr. Pandey, do you have some clothes, a shirt, something else I could put on before I go?
Something that fits. Yes, there's a shirt there's some clothes in the bedroom, in the closet. Go ahead and change, but really, we must be going.
We have hours before sunup. What is your worry there, Doctor?
Well,
share with us what you are scared of.
Would like to be done with this place as quickly as possible.
Yes, hurry, hurry, but with hurry comes mistake.
He nods and stays quiet. But basically, you guys look around, and there's not much more to be found. There's really not anything else around. So, with that, he says he'll... If you'll follow him, he'll take you to the clinic, and he quickly... calls the fire department and the police department, and then as you guys are leaving, you see that his couple other relatives come out of the house maybe 30 seconds to a minute after you, and you definitely see the house starting to go up in flames.
Well, we could have done that for you.
Yikes.
So yeah, you guys follow him to the clinic, and
all this walking, we really are walking all over.
Yes. Does Katarina need to make a con check to see if she's winded?
She is winded. I don't think she has to make a con check. I think she's always winded.
Always winded.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he takes you and says if there's any other information he could give you, but really, he's kind of told you all he knows.
So when did you last see your father, your grandfather, Noor?
Oh, before he passed.
But he
all
didn't
those years
pass.
I was young.
He didn't pass. We've established this. Now that you're no longer lying, what can you tell us about him?
He says, I have told you what I can.
Well, now you need to tell us the rest. Because telling us lies does not help us find anything. We need to know what your father or grandfather was up to before we can help your family.
I think
look,
we are all agreed
here.
We're not going to help you until you come clean with us.
Mm-hmm.
We will just sit here and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Till you spill the beans.
That exactly, yes. Yes, I think you've been very rude with us.
Dwayne there. I think you had some, a bottle, perhaps. And she reaches into her purse and...
Presuming
she,
that
she reaches into her...
When I, got
the... Oh, when you fell down? Oh, yes. Hope not. She pulls a few glasses out of her purse.
My luck roll says it's probably still...
This lady is always prepared.
I like how it's just like the handbag of holding.
Yes.
Wait. Also, Dwayne,
take the cap off and take a swig.
He offers
I still
to
got the bottle. So what?
He offers.
Hold out my glass. Could you help a lady?
Well, while you're pouring drinks, Dr. Pandey, he actually offers you, Dwayne. I can look to your wound, if you would like.
No, the doctor here has already got it wrapped up pretty good. Thank you.
Okay. Very well.
Not sure. Not sure. I want you.
No trust.
And I'll pour like half a finger of rum for Olenovich.
I look at him and I drink it. And I pull out my flask and fill it up proper.
Okay, so just to go over the couple thing or everything that he's told you, which he says is everything that he can tell you. That Nur Pandey was the patriarch, came to Trinidad about 70 years ago, established the family and the, you know, prosperous future by starting all the businesses that they own, which was mostly true, Katerina. Nur died in 1905 at the age of 97. False. He doesn't know what sort of corrupted faith Nur might have followed, which you know is false. He doesn't know who is behind this attack, but it's clear they are dangerous and serve dark powers. Mostly true. And he's paying you to find those responsible and recover his nephew. If him or his family were capable of doing so without involving you, they would. That's 100% true. And anyone that's, you know, not wanting to do anything until he helps you out or anything like that. Well, Katerina, you go ahead and give me an idea roll.
Okay. That is barely a success.
Well, you know that Gita dropped that card for you?
Right.
And yep. She seemed like she was totally opposed to the way her uncle was handling this situation.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's definitely on the agenda.
So, but yeah, he'll go ahead and sit there with you, but, I mean, he just keeps insisting that, look, he wishes he could tell you more, but he cannot.
So I think we
continue to investigate.
Yeah, I think we head off, we storm off, and then we can regroup without him.
Yes.
And
so,
I will explain the business card, and I am interested in this, and I suspect the niece, Gita so-and-so, I think she will give us information we could use.
And as you guys are walking out, you actually spot Bijay. He waves to you from across the street and heads into the cafe and sits down at a large table.
Okay, maybe we head over to a cafe. I think it's time for some breakfast. It must be almost dawn.
Yeah, it is. It's basically like 7 o'clock in the morning, opening time for businesses. The doctor opens his clinic after you guys walk out. And yeah, so just to recap, BJ and Gita were the two that came in to help you in the fight.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. No, so, yeah. Yeah.
I only saved a bullet for Dr. Pandey.
Not the others. So yeah, you guys follow him in to sit down at the cafe or head over to talk to Gita?
I'm going to the cafe.
I think BJ's right here.
I could really use a croissant around now.
So yeah, you guys sit down. Please, let me buy you breakfast.
Thank you.
While I don't agree with how my uncle is handling things, my hands are tied. I can't help you. I'm not allowed to, but we can chat for a bit. I'm sure you're curious about my family, and I can talk about them at least.
Perhaps you can tell us a story, yes.
Yes, what would you like to know? I assume you would like to know about my grandfather.
The story of an old man on a tropical island.
Yeah. But why is it that you can't help us? You said you're not allowed to. What does that mean?
Exactly what it is. I cannot help you.
Because of Dr. Pandey.
My uncle was telling the truth. If there was a way we could take care of this without involving you, then we would.
This is ridiculous. Tell your story.
So yeah, you guys have nice breakfast, and he explains a couple different points over the course of the breakfast. His grandfather, Noor, came to Trinidad with nothing, worked hard in the fields for a couple years, saved enough money to buy a house and open his first business. Within 5 years, he was one of the wealthiest men in the community. It's remarkable how someone could be so thrifty with a simple cane cutter's earning, which is so little. Another point, Noor took pride in the path his family traveled, as so many of his children and grandchildren became doctors and teachers. He felt strongly about the family's efforts to preserve Indian culture. Such things only became important to him once he arrived in Trinidad. Much of his life in India is unknown. He was close to 100 at the time of his funeral. And his cousin Gita is...
That's a nice distinction, isn't it? The time of his funeral versus the time of his death.
His cousin Gita is a teacher of history at Queen's Royal College. She's an expert on the history of their community, i.e. the Indo-Trinidadian community. And he overheard someone speaking inside the house, not one of the investigators, or not one of you guys, with someone else with an unusual accent, sounded like someone that was India-born, but who's lived in Trinidad for a long time. A lot of the older generation sound like that. The accent sounds like it was probably from the Saparia region, which is south of where you are.
I'm sorry, when did you overhear this?
Recently.
Like today or like within the last
week? Last week or so.
So you overheard somebody talking in the house that you don't know who it was.
Yes, I was in the other room, and by the time I made it out, the
a man, was, a woman?
A man.
And what was they saying? This man, older.
I don't know. I wasn't close enough to hear the whole conversation, just I heard the person. And now, after this has happened, it jogged my memory that it was just a little something out of the ordinary recently. But, so yeah, that's the gist of everything that he fills you guys in on. And, basically...
Was somebody cremated at your grandfather's funeral?
It is customary for our family to cremate upon death.
That was not my question.
Yes, somebody was.
Okay, but not...
Who was? Noor.
Noor was not cremated because he didn't die. Tell me something else. When you say you can't help us, or help yourselves, do you mean that you are physically and mentally unable to do so, or that something bad will happen to you if you do help us?
I am just unable to assist you. This is why my uncle has hired you.
So
you feel like he's going around in circles, and he's... How do I say this? You don't think he's being intentionally duplicitous.
Right, no, but I'm just trying to get this one question out.
I know you're trying to get the question answered. He is not forthcoming with an acceptable answer.
Right, okay.
Or well, acceptable for your out-of-character brains.
I'm just going to send a note to Oscar and yell at him.
So he basically has told you guys everything that he can. He gives you his card, says thank you for joining me for breakfast. I actually do have an appointment to extract a tooth this morning and need to get back to the office. But in case you need a cavity drilled or some sort of other medical attention while you're here, please feel free to call on me at any time. I'll help whoever I can.
Can you arrange a taxi to take us to the university, please?
Yes. And he kind of snaps his fingers over at the waiter and talks to him in Hindi. And the guy nods and talks back to him. And he tells you, they should have a taxi for here in about 10 minutes for you.
And the timeline's going to match up, right? Yeah. But, I mean, the timeline's going to match up as far as there going to be someone there when we get to the university, that kind of thing.
You would assume so. It's Friday, which is a normal day for the college.
By now.
Yeah. Okay. So. You guys get to Queen's Royal College campus. And, you saw that her business card said Department of History.
Yeah.
So it's not too hard to find her. But when you guys do... you get there about 9-ish, and it seems that she's going to be teaching a few classes until lunch at noon. You kind of get pointed out to where she is, and she sees you. She excuses herself from the class for a moment and just comes over to the door and slips you a note. And she says to meet her in the library at noon.
Right. Well, let's go to the library. I would happily spend some time in the library, do a little library research. Got a couple hours.
Oh, books. I can't imagine anything more boring.
I think I'll have to spend some time chatting up the librarian more than anything.
So, let's...
Yeah, you know what we should do? Try to dig more information about these families, see if there's anything on the library about how they made all this money. Yeah.
You look for that.
See
I
if
will...
they're all incapable of answering straight questions.
I will see if the... about the tar religion, the tar spirits of India, the tar sands. I will see if I find any mention, any discussion of... I don't even know much about Hindus. I maybe need to learn a little.
All right.
So I'm going to look around the library and see if I see... any adorable young men who maybe could help me, because I'm certainly not going to do this by myself.
Mm. Picture books of young men.
Well, Gail, go ahead and give me a luck roll. Let's see how young these handsome men are.
That's luck. That is a hard success.
Yes, there's some younger gentlemen. You would assume students around that you can bother.
Okay, yes. She's going to sidle up to the nearest and cutest.
Very well.
I was hoping you could help me out. I'm looking for some information, but this is such a big library, and I'm so lost.
He blushes and... proceeds to help you in whatever way he can.
Cool. Great. I'm going to be looking for information about this family.
Okay. He helps you, and you guys pass your time. Not much is found, but noon quickly approaches. Gita... walks into the library and finds where you guys are at And she seems to be in a little bit of a rush. She's got a big cart that she has with her, like a library cart. She says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for coming. I just got out for lunch. Unfortunately, since I was out late," and she kind of, you know, looks you, gives you like an annoying look. You knew why she was out late. I didn't pack anything for lunch or dinner. Can you do me a quick favor? I'm going to run down to the restaurant, I know, just down the street, pick something up for lunch. If you can return these books, she points to the books. There's about 6 books on the cart for that she brought in, each with multiple index cards sticking out of them. She says, if you could return these to the stack, when I get back, we'll eat and have a nice chat. Just follow the universal decimal system.
I'm sorry, you want us to do one of your chores for you? I thought we were already hired by your family to do something. She's completely clueless. She's just going to go on about how rude.
Yes, well, I'm going to go pick up lunch for us. Someone may need the information contained in those books, and I would hate it if they couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you should be putting the books away yourself if you think it's so important.
I will pick up the books and start walking over to a table.
Okay.
It's only 6 books, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, 6 books. And so she says, I will be back with lunch. And sure. Then let me paste something in here, which is... So, yeah, definitely, Katerina, when you open the books, you see that she definitely bookmarked certain passages with those reference cards. So... This.
I look over at Katerina's shoulder and tell her.
He smells. Smells your hair.
Yeah. What is it there that you found?
Let me show you. I think it will appear shortly.
just wipe away the dust.
Exactly.
Blow big cloud everywhere. It takes some time to settle.
Librarians love that.
Ah. We learn about the thuggy cult.
Yes.
Goddess Kali. This is, oh, I guess it's probably safer not to look there. Anyway. Okay, book 1, 2, 3 through 6. So what we pull, basic facts about the thuggy cult. The thuggy were organized gangs of murderers and robbers active in the Indian subcontinent from the 1350s until the 1870s. They are named after the Hindi word for deceit. Traditionally, they would infiltrate groups of travelers, murdering them, usually by strangulation, as they slept, in order to rob them. Membership was hereditary, but the children of victims would sometimes be adopted into the cult. During their 450 years of activity, estimates of the number of their victims fall somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million. The Thuggy venerate the Hindu goddess Kali and claim to be created from her sweat. The cult was eradicated in the 1870s after a 50-year campaign by the British government. One of the most famous figures of this campaign was a captured Thuggy named Feringhe, also known as Sayyid Amir Ali. This captured thug turned King's evidence, giving the British a treasure trove of intelligence against the cult. While Feringhe is the most well-known prover, he was only one of many such informers. We also have basic facts about the goddess Kali. This Hindu goddess is associated with time, power, creation, preservation, death, and destruction. Her name comes from the feminine roots of the Hindi words for black and time. She is often depicted as a woman with either 4 or 10 arms, black or blue skin, red eyes, long black unkempt hair, and a long tongue hanging between small fangs. Her nature is a complex one, being at once a force of death and birth, preservation and destruction, a symbol of Mother Nature wearing a necklace of severed human heads. In one hand, she often makes a vara mudra, a hand gesture signifying charity, while the opposite hand, she wields a bloody scimitar.
This will influence my fashion line, I believe.
Well, I think she sounds awful.
Do we also see books 1 and 2 as well?
Yes.
Okay, I'll read with Edwin's voice at rest, I guess. Book 1 was about, it was a chronological table of and index to the Indian statue book from the year 1834, with a general introduction to the statue law of India in 1870. This is a collection of laws passed in colonial India. The highlighted sections of this book draw attention to the Thugai and Dacoity Suppression Acts, 11 laws passed between 1836 and 1848, which focused on combating, persecuting, suppressing, and punishing members of the Thugai cult. 3 index cards mark a section listing Act XXX, which details obtaining testimony of approvers, thug turncoats, who informed against the cult. Book 2 was The Confessions of a Thug by Philip Meadows Taylor, an 1873 reprinting of it from 1832. This is a work of fiction said to be based on actual events, with a thug named Amir Ali, based on a real thug named Sayyid Amir Ali, supplying the confession. It details the methods, philosophy, training, and religious beliefs of the Thugai cult. We learn several basic historical facts about the Thugai cult, which were
what Edwin read. Yeah. So that is what you guys read. By the time you guys are done reading all of that and kind of getting all the information, if everyone's kind of sharing the work there, except for Olivia, who's probably still hitting on her man, then...
Ida. down to the lunch spot.
Yeah. Well, actually, funny you should mention that. Gita should be back by now. I figured when you guys realized that.
Almost went with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured she was, that was the end of her. So, do we think this family is all Thugai?
Certainly.
Does this mean we're not getting lunch?
Well,
we should.
You know, that's what it sounds like. It's a tradition.
Well, but, if their parents were. That's interesting.
My blood sugar is just getting awfully low.
Well, they were what? The thing itself called Nora Traitor. So they were Thuggies and.
Yeah, they left.
And that's why they can't help us. Perhaps they are Thuggies too.
So Grandpa Nero was an approver then.
Perhaps.
Or maybe, yeah, he was.
Why do we think they're in the cult?
Just because they won't do anything.
Well,
it would explain it. If the grandfather went against the cult and maybe went into hiding, and now they can't help us. I don't know.
While everyone's talking about this, I'll step outside to see if I can see Gita anywhere.
Nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen. No idea where to go looking.
And actually, I think that's probably a good place for us to cut it and pick it up next time for today.
Mm.
Right.
All right.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Cool.
Tugi maneuver.
Awesome.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon.
I'm eager to eventually read the scenario and see what it says about. You cannot let the players know.
Know anything ever. Yeah.
Say nothing of use at all.
Yeah.
Well, you'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right, guys.
Later.
See you
guys.
Tomorrow, then.
Thanks so much, you guys. All right. See you soon.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.